It is 3 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon, and I am Chef Ryan Callahan, and welcome to The People Behind Your Food.
Dun, dun, dun.
Today, I have the lovely and beautiful, talented, and ever fabulous Jesse Callahan, who is my, what, you're everything, really.
I'm your wife.
You're my wife. You're my producer. You're my business partner.
Assistant.
Yeah, my best friend. So tell me, let's get started. Let's just jump straight in. So, who are you and where do you work? What do you do?
I'm Jesse Callahan. I'm Chef Ryan Callahan's wife. And basically, I do all the behind the scenes things for you and your videos and your books. Basically, what we call Callahan Publishing.
Okay, so you are the behind the scenes person for Callahan Publishing, which is why we have you on the show today. So tell me a little bit more about what you do for Callahan Publishing.
I do a lot, actually, I realized. I help you produce your shows, make sure that you have content and you're able to talk about it in a way that relates to the audience and that the audience is interested in. I help you write and edit your cookbooks, and we're currently working on a comic book that I'm also helping to write. And basically, I make our to-do lists, I do our accounting, I basically do all the tedious, like, organizational tasks that keep us on track and in line.
Okay, so you do basically all the back-end office work. So everybody who's tuning in, I just want to give you guys a reminder that you can ask us questions because we are live, so feel free to post your questions.
Oh, and
in the comments.
I do the grocery shopping for all the food videos. So without that.
That is true. Okay, so how long have you been working for Callahan Publishing? How long have you been doing this?
We've been doing this together since, when was it, 2014? Since I talked you into writing Cooking for Chemo and After, which is your first cookbook.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So, before you were working for Cooking for Chemo and Callahan Publishing, before we started doing all this stuff, you had a different career. Why don't you go ahead and tell them about your previous career?
I do have a background in restaurants. When I was younger, I started working in restaurants when I was like 15 or 16. But when I got out of high school, I decided that I wanted to get into radio broadcasting.
Okay.
So I have a background in radio broadcasting.
Okay. So tell us what you did in radio and broadcasting.
I did it all.
Did it all?
No. Well, I did a little bit of everything. I started as an intern. I got hired out of my internship. I got hired out of the internship to do a like on-air promotion. So basically the people that you see out and about that represent the radio station that are playing the games, giving out the freebies at the concerts, hanging the posters and the banners. That's what I started doing once I got hired in radio.
Okay.
And then I moved into on-air producing. Basically, on-air is anybody who's talking on-air between the commercials and the songs and the little bits, for anybody who's not familiar with those terms. And so I did that, and I actually have also done a little bit of on-air. Trying not to get into my radio voice now. So I've done a little bit of it all.
Just a little bit of everything?
Yeah.
In the radio? Okay, so... So you were working in the radio and business. When did you do that from, just roughly? How long were you in the radio business?
I was in the radio business solidly from like 2005 through 2009, and then the recession happened, and then off and on again up until about 3 years ago.
Okay, so on and off for better part of a decade.
Yes.
Right, okay, so... So you were in radio, you were working in radio, and tell me about your job. What was your dream job in broadcasting? What did you really want to do, right? Because you said you didn't want to do restaurants originally.
No, I didn't want to do restaurants. Well, in high school, I got started by doing morning announcements.
Okay.
And so they had students at the beginning of the day. You have like your announcements for the day, like what's for lunch, what's going on, any extracurricular activities, any sports games going on after school. They would have students, they had pairs of students team up and do announcements for one solid week each month. And so I, for my junior and senior year, tried out and got the job, volunteer job of saying morning announcements. And so after high school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life, but I know that everybody was like, could remember me and was probably more annoyed with me than liked me because I was very cheery in the morning. Sure. I was like, you know, blah, 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 Jesse DiMercurio. I was so excited and happy. That's my maiden name. So excited in the morning, and I just love the attention that I got from it. So mm-hmm. then I'm like, well, there's a local broadcasting school here called the Broadcast Center, which is now no longer exists. But at the time when I went in, it did, and I decided to go and learn how to do radio so I could be on air.
Okay, so what was your dream job in broadcasting? So you were in there, you did on air, you did producing, you did behind the scenes, you did promotions, you dabbled in a little bit of the public face. What was your dream job in radio?
It was probably to be on air for a while, it was. And then I decided I didn't want to do radio anymore.
Okay, so let's transition to that. So what made you transition out of working in radio?
It was a couple things. The recession, the recession hit us older millennials really hard. And then there was a lot of other things going on. I was in my early 20s at the time. So I one day decided that I want to have a family. I want to be married and have that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. However, in the radio industry, at that time, I can't speak for it now, but at that time, that lifestyle was not conducive, to having a family and having kids and being married. It was not something that was actually supportive of that. That lifestyle was the antithesis of that. It was going out partying, being self-sufficient, doing this, that, and the other. And, I just looked at all my peers who were 10 years older than me and saw where their lives were. And I decided I didn't want to be there when I'm their age. I wanted to be doing something else meaningful that was a little more meaningful. So that also led to me staying out of radio for a while as well.
So you basically didn't want to do the rock star lifestyle anymore?
No, I didn't.
Okay,
it's empty.
So you left the radio industry because you felt like it was more superficial and you wanted something more traditional
meaningful.
And meaningful to
yes.
yourself. Okay, so you transitioned out of the radio industry. Where did you go from there? Did you go back to restaurants?
To restaurants.
Okay. So what made you get involved this time in the restaurant industry?
Basically out of necessity. And I would say that there are people like you that love working in restaurants, love cooking, love being a manager, love owning them, running them, love everything about them. And then there's the rest of us, which I categorize myself in, as people that do it because it's decent money quickly and you can get a job in a restaurant on a dime, almost anytime, anywhere, any place, because you have bills to pay.
Okay. Now, you're saying, or at least suggesting, that restaurants are not your dream. That's not where you want
to
end up.
That is not my dream to work in a restaurant.
So if we could explore that for just a minute.
Sure.
Why? No pressure, but, you know, is it, you know, they say that, you know, people quit because of bosses, not necessarily mm-hmm. because of money or
whatever.
I've
quit a lot of jobs because of bosses, actually. I'm not going to lie there.
For you, you viewed radio as a career.
Yes.
And you talk about restaurants as if they're a short-term thing and couldn't be a career. Why do you feel like that?
Well, let me clarify. Being in a restaurant and working in restaurants is a career for those who want to make it a career. But for some people, it's just like a way to get money and a way to make money. And for me, it's not what I want to be doing. Sometimes the environment can be a little toxic in restaurants because of the type of people that the restaurant industry tends to attract. And like you said, it's difficult working for certain people who you view incompetent, that you could be doing their job, but you don't want to do your job, which is why you're, you know, just working a certain position because you don't want to be in charge of the chaos and the craziness. Like, I'm not gonna, you know, wrangle this crazy thing here. I forgot what you asked me, so I just started rambling.
Well, what I was asking is what would make, for you, what would make the restaurant industry feel like more of a career? Is it time? Is it time, family balance? Is it money?
I personally There's a lot of things. You know, the pay, while it pays the bills, could be a lot better. Mm-hmm. And it's a little inconsistent. For me though, too, it's also how, people in the restaurant industry are treated by not only the companies that they work for, which can at times feel, a little bit abusive and taken advantage of, because you're doing a lot of work for mm-hmm. very little pay. And it seems at times they pile more on you. And then for me, the other end is the customers, is that sometimes they view you as less than, and they kind of treat you like a servant.
Okay.
And while it is in certain restaurants you do serve and, you know, you're there for customer service, some people can be abusive with that. And, okay. And to me, I just don't like to be in that position. But on the other hand, there's people that thrive in that and love that and do very well with it and enjoy doing it. For me personally, it's not my cup of tea. I do it as a way to make money.
Okay. So you're still in the restaurant industry. Working for Callahan Publishing, though.
Yes.
So,
in
a different way. So, you're still involved with food and mm-hmm. the marketing aspect of food and this, that, and the other. So, how would you say that your radio skills were transferable to what you do now for Callahan Publishing?
Actually, I would say that my restaurant experience and my radio skills are transferable to what I do now with Callahan Publishing. And while I may not like certain aspects of working in the restaurant industry, I'm so glad that I did, because you love restaurants. You love food. And so I'm able to help you produce your shows with an understanding of what the audience or customer wants to see and wants to learn and wants to try. So while I may not particularly like to work in a restaurant, I'm glad that I have, because I have the knowledge to bring into our business to help grow it and highlight your skills and what you do and help other people learn how to cook at home.
Okay, so that touched more on the radio, on the food aspect.
Yes.
How was your broadcasting and production skill sets being used at Callahan Publishing?
So that as well is basically I help you do sound checks for your show. I help make sure that the food that you want to make and the content that you are providing and talking about is even interesting to your audience. So I do a lot of content producing like I would behind the scenes in radio. I bring that skill set to your shows.
So basically you help to professionalize and standardize
what we do. Yes. Instead of Joe Schmo, you know, barbecuing in his backyard, you know, we have a camera setup, sound setup, you know, way we present it online, the way we go through and we talk about, okay, well, make sure you intro this video this way and make sure you hit these points, because these are things that people want to know when you're cooking this item that they may not already know on their own, but these are the things that people want to learn. So that's how I bring that skill set from radio into what we do.
Okay.
Now.
That makes sense to me. So at Callahan Publishing, I always ask this question in all my interviews, which is, how many people do you work with and how big is your staff at Callahan Publishing?
I'm sorry, I didn't get a good laugh in there. So there's two of us. We do it all. We do. You do writing. I help you with writing and editing. You shoot your videos. We do the setup for the camera, the lighting, the mm-hmm. editing, the posting, the promoting. That's another place where radio comes in handy. Promoting and marketing. So promoting and marketing your content online and getting it to people who would be interested in viewing that. And then besides us two, we've recently, in Chef Ryan's How to Cook cookbook that we led out last year or the year before. Is it 2 years now?
I think it's 2 years now.
In 2017, I believe it was. We had brought on an illustrator to help us illustrate that in a fun way. And her name is Katie. And then mm-hmm. we're currently working on a comic book called Pizza Bros, which is hilarious, where we brought in another artist named Chandler. And she's currently working with us on that project.
Okay, so you work with two people, me and you.
Yeah,
and
so
then
technically
we've got
two.
Two affiliates, associates,
contracted
partners, friends.
Yes.
Friends who are guilt tripped into working.
No, not guilt tripped, that volunteer, because the projects are pretty awesome.
Volunteer. So, okay, so I feel like we've all got an idea for who you are and your background.
Okay.
So let's dive into the big nuts and bolts and why what you do is important, which is really what this show is completely 100% all about.
Okay.
So, obviously, you wear many hats at Callahan Publishing. You're a producer, editor, accountant, and writer, and you help run the day-to-day business operations. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to explore each one of these positions that you do in detail, just so people can understand exactly what it is you do, because I feel like, you know, people talk about me a lot, but they don't know what you do behind the scenes and what other producers and writers and think people do to make it work. So let's focus on you for a little bit, because it's always about me. I even managed to make that about me.
I know, right?
So, okay, so as a producer, right, let's just put on your producer hat for just a second. So as my producer, as Chef Ryan's producer, let's call him a third person, what would happen if you were removed from that position?
If I was removed from producing, like, your videos or your books or anything, okay, so let's start with your videos. Basically, you wouldn't have food to cook. You wouldn't have all the ingredients you needed. Your hair wouldn't be done. I try to make him do his hair for most of the video so it looks nice.
Yeah.
Basically, I just polish everything. I make sure you're thinking about the ins and outs, all the points you need to hit. So basically, I kind of wrangle you, I guess, in your ideas to make them presentable to people so they can understand it in a clear and concise way. And the same for your books, too. I took on the role of editor for your books, and I help you write them to make sure that your thoughts are conveyed in a way that makes sense to the average person.
Okay. So how many people, since you cover radio, how many people are usually on a production staff to make a television show or a radio broadcast?
A lot more than we have.
So
in radio, it could be up to a team. So I used to produce the MJ Morning Show back when it was a big thing here in St. Louis. And I was the affiliate producer. So I was one of two people. And then they cut down right at the beginning of the recession to one person. So that was a lot of responsibility for one person. But on his end in Florida, I mean, he had a whole team of people. He had all the people on the show that would have their individual duties, which I think were probably about like 5 or 6 people. And that's just for a morning radio show. And then, you know, you watch shows like on Netflix or Amazon or whatever. And, you know, you see the scrolling list of all these people who make sure everything goes right and goes smoothly and it looks and sounds cohesive. And what was the question? Sorry.
How many people does it usually take to produce
a lot. Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm not feeling well today. I'm on a lot of allergy medicines.
You're like, who am I again? Okay, so let's focus on the duties of producer, right? How important is it for a good producer or coach to help focus the on-air talent and keep them on task and on target?
It's extremely important. Basically, the producer just makes sure everything, again, is cohesive and is on time, that there's a list of things that need to be talked about or done that get done. Basically, the producer is the organizer of the details and makes sure everything gets done and goes smoothly.
So what you're saying is the producer makes sure that everything is produced.
Yes.
Make sure all of us weird creative people don't go running amok.
Yes, it's basically like cat wrangling.
So what is you've touched on this a little bit, but what is your role in helping Chef Ryan to create new content, like articles, videos, recipes, all that stuff? You know, Chef Ryan's making a ton of stuff all the time. What's your role in that? In the creation of the content.
In the creation of the content?
Yeah.
Well, I guess for like the very first cookbook that you wrote was Cooking for Chemo. Mm-hmm. You know, you had a couple of these ideas that you wrote into this like mini pamphlet. And basically I looked at it and I was like, this is brilliant, but the average person isn't going to understand this. And I've been around you and you talking about food and of course cooking for me every single day on demand. So basically seeing that and saying, this is great, let's elaborate on this and make it useful to the everyday person so they can learn something and do something great with this too. And basically that's what I do for every project.
Okay. So let's move on to your next role, which is of course as an editor. So tell me about what it's like to be a book editor with ADHD and dyslexia. What kind of unique challenges does that present?
First off, I need to say that I never in a million years thought I'd be a book editor.
Okay.
It's not something I thought about. Like, I've had thoughts when I was younger and I was in like honors English and whatnot that I was like, oh, maybe one day I'll write, which is funny because now I'm writing a comic book with you. But I never thought I would be editing books, and I just kind of fell into the role. And as someone with ADHD, it's just, it's really interesting. And dyslexia, my role as an editor tends to focus more on content editing, which means making sure that what you're talking about makes sense, flows smoothly, transitions, has a beginning, a middle, a what, when, where, why, how, and a conclusion to wrap up what you just talked about. Most people, when it comes to grammar and spelling, kind of their brain just kind of skips over it, especially with easy access to all the social media platforms where people misspell or use poor grammar, or, you know, incorrect punctuations. Like, most people don't really catch that stuff, but, you know, and you can forgive that to an extent and a misspelling, but if what you're saying is boring, people are not going to come back and read more. So my main focus is on making sure you're interesting and engaging, and you have a really great and unique voice, and the way you talk about things and describe things, you're really funny, you're really outgoing, you're at times absurd. So I make sure that your voice gets heard in explaining ideas and concepts, especially when it comes to cooking.
Okay. So those are the unique challenges.
That is. Oh, well, my dyslexia, it's funny. I guess I just never thought I would do that. And so thank God for WordPad and Microsoft Word, because...
Spell check is what you're thinking
check,
of.
Spell check, yes.
You're thinking of spell check.
Spell check helps me with spelling.
Okay. That makes sense. So, so we just talked about the ADHD and dyslexia, and when we're working together, we have a very unique way of doing it. I dictate, and then you actually physically type, because it allows me to hold the ideas in my head, and then allows you to actually type. But that's been really hard for us to be a strategy, right? Wouldn't you say?
It has its challenges.
It has its challenges. So let's talk about those challenges for a second. So tell me about the challenges we've had to overcome to create a system that you and me could both work, because we're both creative and we're both very powerful personalities, we should say.
We're both pit bulls.
Sure. We're both pit bulls. So tell me about what it's like to work with somebody who has a different thought process than you do.
Well, it's difficult, and we still work on it. Basically, we agree on everything. It's just the understanding of our different coping mechanisms, because we both have ADHD and forms of dyslexia. So we have to accommodate for each other's learning disabilities. And which is so funny that we're talking about writing and editing books, because we have all these... It just shows you that, you know, God willing, you can overcome things that, you know, you need to work on or you have plans for. God has plans for you to do, because we have all these challenges, but yet we're putting out all this amazing content that helps people.
So let me focus you here for a second.
Yeah, sorry. The allergy meds are kicking back in.
So tell me specifically about how we overcame those challenges.
So working together with having those learning disabilities, basically it's just about allowing for each other's coping mechanisms, and, you know, maybe you slowing down when you talk, or me not, you know, focusing on every micro detail while I'm typing and trying to edit while you're trying to give me content. You know, that's something I can do later. But it's just about being patient and slowing down and accommodating for the other person, really.
Okay, that's really good advice for people who want to publish a book or want to be a writer.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, let's talk about what it's like to publish a book. You know,
difficult. Stressful, but also exhilarating.
Okay. So many people want to publish a book. And now with Kindle Direct Press and what used to be CreateSpace and, you know, all these other services that allow anybody to publish a book. So let me ask you a question. Should anybody publish a book, and what should they expect?
Well, if...
should some...
If you want to do something, do it.
Okay.
Period. don't say you're going to do something. Start making an action plan to come up with it. And it was, we knew nothing about publishing. We knew nothing about writing a book. We knew nothing about everything of what we're currently doing. And basically it's just about taking one small step and saying, okay, I'm going to do this. Well, what's a starting point for this? Okay, so here's the starting point. What do I need to learn to do next? What do I need to learn to do here? So it's just about doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Just get up and do it. And, you know, as far as a topic is concerned, like you have your area of expertise is food and the culinary industry. And so if you don't have an expertise, maybe, you know, you have a great imagination and you could think out these amazing fantasy plots and fiction of works of fiction, or, you know, like we're doing for Pizza Bros, where, you know, it's loosely based on our experiences in the restaurant industry and delivery driving and working in pizza and doing all this and just kind of, you know, making it fun and exciting, you know, a fun, exciting story to tell people.
Okay. So speaking of writing stories, so you're also a writer now.
Now I am,
now
yes.
Now you're a writer, you're not just an editor.
Which I never thought would happen either, even though I wanted it to.
So tell me about your first writing project, Pizza Bros. What is
yes.
it? What's it all about? Sell me on it.
Well, Pizza Bros is about working in a pizza restaurant and all the hilarity and nonsense that happens on a day-to-day basis. And it's just about all the funny situations and interactions that have happened to us in the restaurant industry over the course of, 15 to 17 years of working in and out of the restaurant industry. It's about human interaction. It's a slice of life. It's comedy. So it's funny. It's not a depressing, like, the restaurant industry. It's just funny interactions that anybody can relate to. If you work in a corporate setting, if you work in retail, whatever you, it's for you. It's funny. You can relate.
So why do you think people are going to like Pizza Bros?
Because it's funny.
Okay.
It really is. We have reread, we're working on the first volume right now, and we have it broken up into three stories per volume. Things that happen inside the store, things that happen outside the store, and then customer and employee interaction with the corporate. And sorry, these drugs are getting to me, these antihistamine drugs.
You lost your train of thought there,
yes,
didn't
I did.
You?
So I'm sorry.
We're talking about why Pizza Bros is interesting. Why people are going to like
just,
it.
It's just funny. It's funny.
Just funny?
It's funny.
Okay. It's funny. You heard it here, folks. You heard it here first on the People Behind
You. You want to tell them more? I'm
That's
sorry.
Not my job.
I'm
That's
on a lot
job.
Of allergy
Focus.
Medicine.
You're doing good. You're okay. So what are the unique challenges of writing a comic as opposed to writing a cookbook?
I would say working with an illustrator, because with your other cookbooks, it's just been us. So we've been going back and, you know, we go back and forth and think about content and the story that you're telling when you're explaining this content and using your voice. And in this situation, it's, you know, we write a script and then we have to get someone else involved because a comic book is visual.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just about the difference is bringing someone else in and creating a visual description of what we're writing.
Okay. So speaking of that process, why don't you describe that process a little bit more? Like, how does that work? Do you just come up with a story and just hand it to the illustrator, or do you and the illustrator sit down and hash out the characters? Like, you know, let's start with characters. How do you even come up with characters for a comic book?
Well, everyone has certain types of friends that are very colorful and have a lot of character. And so we have these interesting characters in Pizza Bros. And basically it's just about putting these interesting characters in these situations that where everything goes wrong and hilarity ensues, and telling the story of how people interact or react to certain situations and when they find themselves in chaotic situations. And that's basically what Pizza Bros is.
Okay, so your characters were based on real people or caricatures of general types of people that you know?
They're basically characters of general types of people that we know.
Okay, so now, so working with the illustrator, so how do you guys come up with the stories? So obviously you and Ryan write the stories.
So yes, which would be me and you.
Yes.
I know you keep talking about yourself in the third person. So we basically just, we write the stories, and what we do is we come up with a story idea for Pizza Bros and we write it out. And then we go back and we say, okay, well, how does this need to look visually to convey the story that we're telling? And so then we'll go back and we'll say, okay, well, we want this to happen in this scene, this to happen in this scene, this to happen in this scene. Then we go back again and we're like, okay, well, we think it could fit in a box like this. We need a box this big, you know, or a half page box, or we need a fourth page box for this. This only needs some a little bit of dialogue, or this one needs only a facial reaction. And then after that, we go back again and we bring our illustrator in, and then we read through the script with her and basically paint a picture for her of what we want done. So she goes through and we do a light sketch to tell the story visually, and then she goes and performs digital artwork and brings it back to us, and we tweak it and we go from there.
Okay, so basically it's a little bit of creating a comic book or anything with any project is a lot of just going back and forth and refining the project over time is what you're saying.
Correct.
Okay.
We do a lot of back and forth and a lot of correcting. You know, and then if she sees something and we're trying to, tell a part of our script or our story one way visually, but she sees it a different way, like, oh, I think it would be funnier if this happened, in this scene instead of doing it this way. And it makes sense, you know, her input is valuable in that as well, because she may think of something that we didn't, like from a different angle of the scene.
A different perspective.
Yeah, different perspective. Yes.
Okay, so let's move on. I feel like we've covered, the comic book and the writing aspect really well. So you also run the accounting and the day-to-day business operations.
Boring.
And I know this is boring, but it's an important part of every business, so we need to touch on it. So what do you do in the day-to-day business operations at Callahan Publishing?
I do
nothing,
a lot.
Everything?
I do so much. It's hard to describe everything I do. I don't even think about what I do most of the time. I just do it. Mm-hmm. I basically organize us so we can get things done. With having two people, there's a lot to do for both of us. And so basically I sit down with you in the morning and we organize a to-do list and we divvy it up and say, okay, this is within your skill set. This is within my skill set. Let's hammer this out and get this done. Is there anything you need from me in order to get what you need done? So basically my day to day is basically organizing our daily to-do list, our weekly to-do list, our monthly to-do list, making sure bills are paid on time, making sure I'm accounting for all the expenses, that we incur for, like, you know, the food videos, sending out products, making sure all that stuff is accounted for, which that stuff is really boring.
Well, speaking of boring things, so let's just touch on the last couple things. Accounting. So we're a small business, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how important is it for a small business to account for every expense?
It is the most boring topic ever, but it is the most important.
Okay.
And it's so important because we can't, with keeping the accounting on track and making sure that we have more money coming in than going out in expenses, it allows us to stay open so that way we can keep creating more content.
Okay.
You know, it's hard to, keep creating when you're losing money.
That makes sense to
me.
So I think we've covered everything about you, Mrs. Jessie Callahan, and everything that you do. So basically what you said over the course of the last 35 minutes is that you do a little bit of everything.
Yes.
And a lot of everything.
The Jill of all trades.
The Jill of all trades. Or even how about the Jessie of all trades?
The Jessie of all trades, even when I'm on allergy medicine.
Propped
up.
So thank you so much for coming on my show. I know that I had to pull your teeth a little bit to get you to come on.
Yeah.
We had other guests and I just really wanted to get you on here because I really wanted people to know that the restaurant industry, the food business isn't just food. There's
no,
so many
not.
Other aspects of working with food. And you exemplify that you do all this back end production work that allows a food business to operate, you know?
Yeah, and thank you for kind of pushing me to come on the show because I was hesitant and I didn't want to do it. But it helped me to realize all the stuff that I actually do around here, which I just, you know, I just do it. I don't even give it a second thought, but I sure. do a lot. And there is a lot of things that happen in the food industry vein that, you know, are not necessarily handling the food like you.
Okay. So if you're watching this on Instagram Live right now, thank you guys for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you. Don't forget to visit my website, chefryancallahan.com. You can listen to this podcast in its full content on Spotify, iTunes, or Radio Public, just because you can't always get online and watch a full video, but then you have the opportunity to listen to us talk while you're driving around. And if you're listening to me on my podcast, don't forget to visit me at chef_Ryan_Callahan at Instagram. And don't forget that we are going to be doing these live every Tuesday, and then they'll be going live within the next day or two, and then it'll pop up into your podcast feed. So don't forget to hit subscribe. And then next week we'll be interviewing Randall Jordan, who is a mathematician who delivers pizza to pay his bills.
Ooh, Randall.
That's going to be a super exciting interview. So anyways, Jesse, thank you again for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
And I'll see you guys next time.